change. It is about a broader ecological crisis, and it is also about the crisis of inequality. And I think the most significant aspect of the document, and certainly why I've been invited to speak at this conference, to go to the Vatican, is because they are trying to make the conversation about the failures of our economic system, which is a very live conversation around the world, and the conversation about climate change come together, because they are so often segmented. And this is true, for instance, in Europe right now, where Europe is in the grips of an austerity crisis, and poverty is exploding. And there's this idea that first you have to solve the economic crisis, and then we can care about climate change. And, you know, this, the Rick Santorum saying, no, I think there are more pressing issues than climate change, right? I think it's the holistic nature of the analysis that is its power, because what Pope Francis is saying is that the roots of poverty and the roots of climate change are the same. It is this this logic of domination and endless greed that that has created a broken economy and that is breaking the planet. And that the way out of the crisis, of both crises, is the same. It is another economic model that lives within nature's limits.
Nathan Schneider, we give you the last word.
The Pope is calling here for us to change how we live, how we what we do with our resources. You know, this is not just moving from one kind of consumerism to another. This is a kind of spiritual renewal, and also a material renewal that in which we turn ourselves toward an economy that's sustainable, that's life-giving both for humanity and the rest of the world.
Nathan Schneider of the Catholic magazine America, and Naomi Klein, author of This Changes Everything, Capitalism Versus the Climate. Thanks so much for joining us. That does it for our show. We have job openings. Check our website. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our host, Joanne Hardesty.
Attention KBOO members and listeners. The KBOO Foundation is seeking to fill four upcoming vacancies on the Board of Directors. Terms run 3 years, beginning on October 1st. The nomination packet, due July 11th, is posted on the KBOO website, and paper copies are available at the station. Candidates must submit the completed nomination packet via email to kboocommunity@gmail.com or mail or drop off the completed nomination packet, care of Timothy Welp, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Incomplete forms will not be considered as fulfilling the statement of interest requirement by the KBOO bylaws. Packets are due by Saturday, July 11th. The candidate statements submitted as part of the nomination packet will be posted to KBOO's website, and candidates will be expected to participate in an interview for broadcast and a Q&A session at the annual meeting. For more information, please contact the nominating committee at kboocommunity@gmail.com.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to be the sponsor of the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, taking place from July 2nd through the 5th at Waterfront Park in Portland. The Blues Festival includes cruises like the Blue Bayou Cruise, the Rock the Boat Dance Cruise, Drifting Blues Cruise, and the Sail On Sister Cruise, as well as after-hour performances featuring Galactic, Charmaine Neville, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and the Paladins. Again, that's the 28th Annual Waterfront Blues Festival, Thursday, July 2nd through Sunday, July 5th at the Waterfront Park in Portland. For more information, go to kboo.fm/Waterfront Blues Festival 2015.
Queer women recently released from Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, where we were in a program called the Family Preservation Project, which helped our children stay connected to us and taught us how to parent.
The Department of Correction chose to cancel the Family Preservation Project. Tune in to Prison Pipeline to hear how you can help us flip the switch on DOC's decision. Please support Senate Bill 939, which addresses the needs of children with incarcerated moms.
That's Prison Pipeline, June 22nd at 6:30 p.m.
Somewhere over the way up high, and the dreams that you dream of once in a lullaby.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. I was planning on having a very fluffy show today, talking about all the upcoming fun that we will be having in the Portland metro area this summer, until I heard about the tragedy that took place in Charleston, South Carolina. The community that is trying to figure out what to do, there will be a prayer vigil this evening at 6 p.m. at 5828 Northeast 8th Avenue. It is being hosted by Dr. T. Allen Bethel of the AMA Coalition. And so 6 p.m. this evening, that will take place at Maranatha Church, located at 5828 Northeast 8th Avenue. That will be this evening. So if you didn't hear, nine people lost their lives at a Bible study in Charleston, South Carolina last evening at the hands of a gun person who is still at large. And it's being presented as per early reports that this may, in fact, have been a hate crime. I heard Amy Goodman talk about this morning and interview some of the people locally. And you can't help but have your heart go out to those individuals, their families, and that community. I think that this is just another example of how hate is infecting our population and how race is playing a role in that hate. So I would love to get your thoughts on what's taking place. But again, there will be a prayer vigil this evening at 6 p.m. at 5828 Northeast 8th Avenue, being hosted by Dr. T. Allen Bethel at Maranatha Church. For more information, you could call him at 503-288-7241. So I am very interested in hearing what you have to say. I am really troubled by this situation, and really hope that they catch this gentleman soon and hold him accountable for his actions and his behavior. I wish I could say I am surprised that these kind of things continue to happen, but I would be wrong if I said I was surprised. I'm going to go to the phone line, but if you'd like to give me a call, the number to call is 503-231-8187. Good morning, Sunny. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning. Oh, Joanne, I had hoped that you would say more, and of course, through your program, you will.
Of course.
You can hear my dog has a lot to say.
Yes, yes, sorry. I can hear that. That's okay.
You know what? I'm going to take care of him and let you continue with your show, and I will call back in.
Okay. Feel free to do that anytime.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. So based on a report in South Carolina, what we know is that nine people were killed. One was a state representative, Mr. Rutherford, was a state representative and minister. He was a minister starting at 13, ordained at 18, elected to the House at 23 and the Senate at 27. My understanding is he died at 41 years old. The governor has asked the state residents to pray for the victims and their families. And of course, I mean, there's really no, when you try to logically think about what could possibly have happened, there's no logic to these kind of tragic events. So what's interesting is the police originally thought they had arrested the person, the shooter, but they found out they in fact had not. Someone asked me this morning, well, wouldn't it have been unusual to have a white man coming into a black church to do a Bible study? And my experience with black churches is absolutely not, because, of course, black churches are welcoming to everyone, regardless of race, age, ethnicity, etc. The church that this happened in is a pretty historic church. It was founded in 1822, and the co-founders of the church was Denmark Vesey, and who actually tried to develop a slave rebellion in Charleston, as per the website of the church. The plot was foiled, and 35 people were executed for that attempted slave rebellion in Charleston. The church had to go underground for a period of time because of their abolitionist activities. So this church has a very, very long history in the African American community. It is a tragedy, like so many other tragedies that happen when people have guns and think that that is going to solve whatever the problem is. There was a statement made by the president of the NAACP, Cornell Williams Brooks. His statement was, there is no greater coward than a criminal who enters a house of God and slaughters innocent people engaged in a study of scripture. I think that's a adequate description. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, Sunny. Glad you're back. Welcome back.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. You know, I say the appropriate word for this is atrocity.
Mm.
Atrocity.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell you that as a half-Indian person with some African-American descent, our people have been hit on both sides, from sometimes Christians coming in and taking away our spiritual beliefs or trying to, and telling us we had no morality and controlling us. And we have also been hit by Satanists across time. And if people want to look at the Tolowa Massacre, T-O-L-O-W-A, Massacre, Tolowa Massacre, T-O-L-O-W-A, you see the Satanists in action. And I will tell you, the Satanists are hitting people of color and also of Christian or Islamic or Hindu belief hard. Yes, they are, because I have spoken with the Hindus and I have spoken with the Islamics, and I have brought a lot of money into the station to try to keep the fire of freedom going, because KBOO represents more than anything freedom. And you can't have real community without freedom. And the idea that one group can start telling other groups and terrorizing other groups is not acceptable. It is not America anymore when we allow that to happen. And this is atrocity. And also, why does the KKK burn the cross? They're not Christians. They pretend to be Christians. Right. That's their cover. But they are Satanists. Why did that young man go in there and shoot these people in their Bible study? It also is an origin point of this previous Civil War, and it has amongst its people one of the fellows who was killed. So cowardly, I must say. Aren't they always cowardly?
Yes, they are.
He is well-spoken. He was a well-spoken member of the legislature, and they recently passed cameras on the police.
Yes.
This is retaliatory. This is probably KKK. This is satanic. That's just the way it is. And the other thing is, there are quite a few Crowleys at KBOO. And Crowley, Aleister Crowley, was a raving, ranting racist. And look at the KBOO posters over the last few years, always featuring their big-ass demons, their devils, and all this crap. I don't I don't want to take it. I'm not going to take it from Christians. I'm not going to take it from Satanists. I'm going to stay with my country's freedom. I'm going to stand with these people. And I feel terrible about this. And if we don't speak out about this kind of stuff, it's going to get worse, because you know what? It's really bad now. As I pointed out before, go to YouTube for police shootings. You'll see a lot of ritual activity associative with satanic activity upon people. And I'm taking quite a chance speaking about this because, as you know, my employer and I have been through all sorts of awful stuff in our neighborhood, and this is part of it. But I have a big, big family across many, many reservations, and we are sounding the alarm. Americans, you must stick together, black, white, red, yellow, green, purple, pink nations. Stand for freedom, stand for kindness, stand for goodness, and stand against these cowards. And that's all I have to say.
Well, I appreciate you calling back, Sunny, and I appreciate your advice. We have to stand up, because if you don't stand up when something like this happens, then you pretty much will fall for anything. Thank you so much for your time today. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. What I understand is that the police actually knows the name of this young man. His name is Dylan Roof, and he's 21 years old, of Lexington, South Carolina, and they believe he may be driving a black Hyundai. And so if anyone, and there are pictures of him posted all over online. So if anyone actually runs across this young man, the best thing you could do is, call the police in Charleston, South Carolina. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Oh, hi. Thanks. Almost forgot what I was going to say after listening to the previous caller. That was fantastic. So I was listening to Democracy Now! This morning, and I wonder if I heard him touch on maybe Clinton having been there recently, and
yes.
Bush was planning on
yesterday.
Going and canceled.
Yesterday, in fact, and then Bush was supposed to arrive today.
Yeah, that's kind of weird timing. So I wonder if there's if any of your callers or you guys there know any more about that. And I hope they don't just, I hope they do, but I think it would be wise not to just take this guy out and then they can say he was anybody.
Right,
but,
right.
It'd be really interesting to see who he's with, or I don't know, whatever. I'm sure they'll figure all that out.
Yes.
I'll get on with your program.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call this morning.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now. I don't know the answer to your question. I do know that they're looking for him. I certainly agree with you. I hope that they get him alive so that he can be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. That would be my hope. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Yeah, hello, Joanne.
Hello.
Thank you and bless you for giving a telephone number instead of a website. I thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you know what? I don't know why. I'm not going to bother call. I mean, nothing I realized before now, nothing I think or say about the evil, and it is a four-letter word. It is evil. It's a form of evil. I keep... it's not going to stop it or not going to do anything about it, no matter what I say or do. But I want to say this, even though it's not going to do any good either, but one of the things I know loud and clear, unless this country stops doing war and supporting war, forever we're going to have all this kind of evil and other types of evil happen over and over and over again. I'm not being negative. Thank you, Joanne, for listening.
Thank you. And no, I don't think you're being negative at all. I think it's absolutely true that we have to, I mean, we can't be the aggressors around the world and then wonder why people in the United States become aggressors as well. I absolutely agree with that theory. But I also think that we don't know. I mean, what would make a 21-year-old shoot nine people and kill eight of the nine? I cannot imagine what would go through somebody's mind to make them do that. And I'm sorry. Yes, the I want to correct some information I gave you. The vigil was actually going to be at Bethel AME, and I did give you the address, which I will give you again. At 5828 Northeast 8th. I'm so used to Dr. Bethel being at Maranatha, I didn't actually look to see that the address was a bit different. So again, it will be at Bethel AME Church this evening starting at 6 p.m. And hopefully, if you are able, you will come out and stand with the community who will stand in solidarity with South Kalana. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Good morning, John. Welcome to KBOO.
Hello, Joanne. It's good to be on your show. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. It's good to have you.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic that we're talking about today, and it's very sad when atrocities, which I think that is the right term to label this, when things like this happen. I think there's a lot of shaming that goes back and forth when something like this happens, and there's a lot of want to put blame on one individual,
mm-hmm.
but I think last comment was really apt in that when we live in a country where aggression is the norm and
yes.
where labeling and othering is a very common practice, it's a lot more complicated than claiming one individual as evil. And there's so much societal and systemic problems that feed into this. So I just want to really, really challenge people to kind of think past the gut reaction, and I know this is an atrocity, and it's so sad to hear about, but there's so much that feeds into these problems, and just labeling the one person as the evildoer or the aggressor as the sadist, like that's kind of cyclical, and it's negative, and I just want to challenge people to think a little bit more into the overarching themes and problems.
And I guess it doesn't actually, I mean, I think it's safer for people to think that, you know, this one individual had a mental health issue that,
yeah.
Or they were so filled with hate because they were part of a hate group or whatever,
yeah.
that it's easy to say, and so therefore that won't happen to me or that won't happen to people I know because this was this isolated, you know, wacko individual. But the reality is, are we not creating a community of people who believe violence is the norm? You know, certainly my work with police violence lets me know that the police are not immune to being overly aggressive in our community. And so why would we expect community members to be immune from being over aggressive? Plus, we have a whole generation that's grown up with war.
Yes.
And we have a military that actually develops video games, right, that they take into the middle schools to get kids excited about war before they're old enough to actually be able to go to war. We still live in a country where you can go to jail for a mandatory minimum at 15. Actually, we live in a state where that's so. You can go to jail for a mandatory minimum at 15 years old, but yet you're not old enough to vote, join the military, sign a contract, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think some of these fundamental problems actually feed into the psychosis that we as community members suffer from.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. And there's this stigma that comes along with the whole mental illness part of it.
Mm-hmm.
We like to brush it off to that because it's easy, but are we all not having mental problems right now with what's going on in our country and all the violence we see? I mean, that'll have a negative impact. And
if we're not, shouldn't we be concerned about that?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I appreciate your call. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for, you know, thinking critically about this, because this is not the first mass shooting we've heard about.
Yes.
Certainly
yeah.
won't be the last mass shooting that we hear about. But this one, because of the racial overtones, is disconcerting. Just
yeah.
because, you know, just because I just know how welcoming Black churches are traditionally, and just how easy it is for something like that to happen in a place where people don't expect firearms to be.
Yeah, and that's This one is very racially charged, and it's going to be an interesting conversation that keeps continuing. And
I hope.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I said I hope.
yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. Hello, Mike. Good morning. Welcome to K-Boot.
Hey, Joanne. How you doing?
I'm all right, Mike. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I want to put a different spin on this.
Okay.
I don't see this as the reason this guy went in there. I don't think it was because these people was black. I think it was a hit. And the reason I think it was a hit is because that senator was a target. Because what he was involved in was trying to reform the police department. He was in politics, so he probably had enemies, particularly from the police department. And I think that this was very organized. And when he went in there, that senator was a target. He shot up a bunch of other people to cover up the real intent. And so he was successful in that people are not looking at it as a hit. They're looking at it as a hate crime. I don't think it was that at all. And so that's
well, let me challenge you a little bit, Mike, because why, if it's a hit, then you would just go in, you'd shoot everybody, and you'd leave. Why would he spend an hour participating in Bible study if he was there simply because it was a hit?
Well, why not? I mean, to confuse the issue.
Well, I mean, if you are a hit, your job is to get in and out as quickly as possible. Your job is not to hang out and read Bible verses with individuals. Go ahead.
You're looking at it from Hollywood's point of view. I'm just saying that's my theory. There was a big target in there.
Oh, you're not looking at it from a Hollywood perspective?
I'm looking at it from realistic. The target, in my perspective, was the senator. The senator was involved in body cam.
But you know, wait. The body cam legislation is a joke. Any legislation, even the legislation that the Oregon legislature just passed on, there's a perception that just because cops have cameras on their lapel, that somehow we're going to be able to hold police accountable. We just passed a bill, House Bill 2517, in the Oregon legislature that is just the opposite of holding police accountable. Police will own all the video. Police will decide when the cameras come on. Police will decide when and if any information is released to the public. Police will own the data. So no one I know who wants body cams thinks that any of the legislation that has passed so far is going to do anything to hold police accountable. And so I disagree with your premise that somehow because he was supporting body cams, it was a hit and eight other people had to suffer in the process. I think that's a Hollywood script.
That was one of the reasons. You know, also the police took forever to show up. They didn't respond to the initial call. By the time they showed up, nine people were dead. It goes, you know, this guy didn't act alone. This thing was orchestrated, and it was organized.
So, Michael, most of the time, I like hearing your theories of your conspiracy theories, but today I'm just not feeling this. I think this was a damaged individual that did something horrific, and he did it because it was a black church, it was a historic church, and he wanted to be famous, and so today he is.
Joanne, when somebody commits a crime, the first thing you got to ask, who stands to benefit? Because, and when this guy came in and committed this, you got to ask yourself, who stands to benefit? One of this guy had political enemies. You don't go into politics and try to straighten things out without creating enemies. And it was, in my opinion, it was a hit.
Michael, thank you, but I totally disagree with you. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. I do know that as a politician, you certainly can make enemies. But, you know, it takes much more than one politician to pass a piece of legislation. So I totally disagree with that premise. And, of course, because all the facts aren't in, we're all left to speculate about what was in the mind of the 21-year-old who went into that church and decided that he was going to take the lives of 9 people. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Ann. Welcome to KBOO.
Was the shooter caught alive?
He has not been caught as of yet.
Okay. Well, here's what I know. He will be caught alive. He will be humanized. This will be attributed to his mental health state. And his actions will not represent his race. And this is what that's what the criminal justice system and the media system will do. And what I would like to see the media do is focus on the victims and all the wonderful things they did and focus on this church and its history.
Yes.
But they won't.
They won't. So, no.
That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate the call.
Sure. Thank you.
Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. So it is time for us to start demanding more of our media. You have a high expectation of what you get from your public community radio station, as well you should. We should be expecting the same type of activity from the traditional media. We should be challenging the really poor reporting that takes place on a regular basis. We should challenge the printing wholesale of press releases submitted to media outlets by police bureaus all over the state. I mean, we do need to have a better media representatives across the state, and that we don't currently have. Back to the phone line. Good morning, Leslie. Welcome to KBOO.
Hi, good morning, Joanne.
Good morning.
What I would like to see the media do is some analysis of this individual as being mentally ill. I would like to see the analysis of racism itself as a mental illness. We pretend that, you know, the only people who are racist are people in white sheets burning crosses, when we know fully well that racism is a continuum.
Yes.
It goes from the from the clerk following you around the store, or from the person who mutters something to you on the bus or in the street, or screams nigger from their car when they're driving past you, to persons like this. And the vast majority of racism are the microaggressions.
Yes.
From cowards. You know, the individual with the gun is the exception.
Mm-hmm.
But the rule is basically cowardly punks on the street venting their aggression on a person who they think is not going to answer back to them.
Right.
Or the person on the job, or the person in some type of social setting. And we need to start looking at these people. We need to get them. Are you mentally ill? What's your problem? Why can't you cope with your hate and your stereotyping and your othering? Why can't you deal with that and see that you are the one with the problem? But
I do think that because this country has been so unwilling to deal with issues of race, it festers behind the scenes. It festers just below the surface on a continuous basis. And so something like this comes up, and then people want to say, oh, well, this young man must have been involved with some hate group, right?
Exactly.
He couldn't have possibly have done that on his own. He clearly had to be led by someone. He had been brainwashed. He's mentally ill, you know, as a way to otherize him, right? To make it like he's not like the normal white 21-year-old male on the street. However, we live in a very racialized society. And because we don't talk about race, we just pretend somehow that racist policies are not embedded in every institution in this country. We pretend that doesn't exist.
And we also like to pretend that if someone doesn't use the N-word, they can't be a racist. Well, we know that there's all kinds of euphemisms now for the N-word.
That's right.
Thug.
Right. There's gang member, which the police love to use because we know that's code for black and between 12 and 24.
There's ghetto. There's inner city. There's urban. All of these are nothing but euphemisms for the N-word. And we know that this society can define anything as mental illness that it wants to, this culture. For decades, the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, defined homosexuality as a mental illness.
That's right.
And then they decided, it's okay to be gay. You're not insane if you're gay. Well, we need to start looking at racism. Maybe racism needs to be included in the DSM.
And so I just got a hot note off the press that they just arrested Dylann Roof.
Nice.
So you were correct when you said he would be arrested alive. He is. And so I guess there will be more forthcoming. I absolutely support what you've just said. And my question is, as we continue to have more and more people move into our communities with no understanding of the history, no understanding of the racialization that takes place here in Oregon, no idea that Oregon was created as a white homeland, how do we start educating the newcomers into the reality of the community that they live in? Because quite frankly, I think they believe that Portlandia is the real Portland as compared to what Portland really is like.
I don't know. We need to have a discussion on that.
Well, I hope we do that soon, because I see the tensions already rising between newcomers who think that, you know, they got it going on, and people who've been displaced from their local communities. If we don't figure it out in a peaceful way, it's going to percolate and end up on the street. So I hope we figure it out.
Okay, well, take care. Be well.
Okay, you too. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Have a great day. 503-231-8187 is the number to call. Good morning, Paul. Welcome to KBOO.
Good morning, Dylann. Thanks a lot for the show.
You're welcome.
I think this is a terrible tragedy, obviously, but it's not a bad idea to remind ourselves how susceptible people are to horrible things, you know, and maybe take a moment out of your day-to-day to realize that any criticism you have against any group of people, no matter if it's race or religion, you know, it wouldn't hurt to really think about our criticisms and the effect they have on society. You know, you look at something like this, and it's hard to say, you know, some might say that this guy was brainwashed or something. Some might say that he was hypnotized and, you know, did something horrible or something by some satanic group. But I don't think it's that. I think it's just the thought process, and we're all very susceptible to anger. Mm-hmm. And we have this cultural mood these days where I find, especially here in Portland, you know, it's kind of almost trendy to be like an atheist or something, to talk down on religion and whatnot. And that's fine, you know, if you want to do that, but never forget that you know, when you take something to extremes, you're capable of hurting a lot of people around you. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and you know, let that stir around in people's minds for a minute, and, you know, accept everyone with love, and that's it, you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Really appreciate your call this morning. Thank you so much.
Sure.
So you want to know what's coming up on the Boo today at 9? Pair hosts a special hour-long call-in version of Fight the Empire on The Great Game. He asks, can today's wars be related to an age-old conflict? At 10, it's Eric Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15 on Flashpoint, a discussion of how Walmart secretly uses tax havens to dodge taxes. Oh, say it isn't so. And a look at the current situation in Haiti. Want to thank all our KBOO members for your generous support during our spring fund drive. And if you missed it, you could still become a member by going to kbloo.fm and clicking on donate today. I also want to remind you that Reggae Bob is going to be substituting at noon for Shaksa Sheba. And so we will be having some fine reggae music, and Reggae Bob is always right on the J-O-B. So we can't wait for that today, coming up at noon. So I'm going to go back to the phone line. Hello, James. Welcome to KBOO. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, good morning to you, too. I don't understand it. You know, it's like we want to deny. It's like you can have black folks screaming racism all day, and, you know, and it's like, it's just like, get over it. But
yes,
it's like, if white folks do something racist, then it's like, well, it's just an individual act.
He's just misunderstood.
Yeah, he's just misunderstood, and I can't understand that logic. It's like, you know, we can never forget the Holocaust. We can never forget the Twin Towers. We can never forget, any other. I don't know. It's like,
but yet we can forget Jim Crow. We can forget.
Oh, yeah.
Mass incarcerations of people of color. We can forgive not educating black and brown kids in our public education system. We can forgive a 53% graduation rate at Portland Public Schools for kids of color as compared to the white population in Portland Public School. So yes, we're very forgiving when it comes to things that happen to people of color, but not so forgiving when people of color start demanding equality.
Yeah,
we're supposed to get over it.
Exactly. I mean, in this day and age, I just, you know, with all the available stuff to be able to educate yourself on racial inequality, mm-hmm. I mean, it just comes down to pure ignorance.
We don't teach it in a school, right? So we have February, and what do you learn in schools in February? You learn about Dr. Martin Luther King, or you learn about Rosa Parks, both stellar leaders.
You don't learn about Nat Turner.
Yes.
Or Huey Newton.
Right.
You know, you don't learn about
the Black Panthers Party. You don't learn about, which was the first healthcare clinics, free healthcare clinics in poor communities. Also, the first food kitchens for children was served by the Black Panthers. But when we talk about history of developing feeding programs, the history books don't mention the Black Panthers. You talk about health clinics in the community, the history books don't mention that the Black Panthers were the ones who started that. And then you'd have to ask, well, why is that? Well, because we didn't write the history books. The victors write the history books.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a crying shame. We really need to be doing. I don't know. You know, honestly, I want to say we need to be doing more, but mm-hmm. then I think, like, how much more can we really do?
Right.
You know, it's basically out there far enough that if you stick your nose in a little bit, you get slapped in the face by it. You should be. I mean, people should be waking up, but it's like, We just want to kind of, most people want to just stick their head in the sand and just, they want to do nothing. They want to do absolutely nothing about it. I have so many friends who are just like, well, you know, I just don't want to get in the middle of it. I don't want to have an opinion about it. And, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King said the hottest place in hell is reserved for those who just, they take no side.
Yes, yes.
In a moral debate.
Yes, yes. Actually, I have a quote that I use on all the emails that I send out that goes, the measure of a man is not we'll remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends.
Yes.
Which
yes,
is
yes.
a which really touched my heart when I first heard that quote. And I thought, you know, you're absolutely right, because too often people of goodwill are absolutely silent when it's time for them to step up and make their voice count. And so,
yeah.
So let's start. We've got like about 15 minutes left, and I would like to not be thoroughly depressed when I leave this radio station. So I want to start talking about kind of what do we do as a community, as a collective? What are our individual roles to actually move beyond this pretend post-racial society and actually start doing the hard work of actually creating a society that's actually respectful of all cultures and all people and all race and ethnicities? What's your suggestion?
Well, my suggestion is to start, like, one of the things that I've been doing with my guitar students is, because I'm teaching, I love blues guitar.
Uh-huh.
I love playing the blues.
Right.
And so I, like, most of my lessons, they're part, like, teaching guitar, but the other part of it is teaching the history behind it.
Oh, very
and,
cool.
You know, and speaking, you know, and I'm a Mexican kid.
Right.
You know, most of what I've learned about Black culture, I did through the blues.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, and I think it's important that people know that it's like blues is Black music. I tell everybody that. That's my precursor before I even teach you a lick on the guitar. You know,
right.
I think it's Black survival. It comes from, you know, it comes from hard living,
yes,
from the Black community. So if you're gonna engage in the music, then you better be willing to engage in the struggle.
Well, excellent. And you know, I love that, because you're taking a passion that you already have for music, sharing it with a new generation, and at the same time providing some historic context for that.
And yeah, it's important. We miss a lot of that, especially here in Portland. There's a
yes.
very huge shortage of you know, and I mean there's a very few Black folks out here that really are. I mean, you got like yeah, Janice Scroggins and Linda Hornbuckle, but, you know, they passed on. I
yes.
mean, there's still, like, Lloyd Allen, and
right.
there's still, like, Phoenix Sanders. There's still a few Black folks who are out there playing and getting it done, but, you know, but there's not enough historical context. I mean, they'll talk to you about it if you ask them.
Exactly.
But, I mean, we need more advocacy from that point of view.
Well, and it's interesting you say that, because we have world-class musicians who live right here in little old Portland, Oregon.
Uh-huh.
I think of Norman Sylvester. I think Mel Brown. I think
yeah.
Myrtle Brown. I think I could go on and on. And you're right. We've lost some giants. Over the last year with Linda Hornbuckle and Janice Scroggins' death. But we still have a wealth of musical talent in this community that I believe is thoroughly underappreciated. Just because they've been doing it so long. And what's incredible is they've played with just about every major act in the world, and they are still kicking. So thank
yeah.
you so much. I appreciate your passion in the music. I appreciate your passion for racial justice, and I appreciate that you're putting your passion into action. And that's something that, you know, we don't have enough people doing. So thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Bye now. And we're going to go back to the phone line. Hi, Deanna.
Hi, Joanne.
How are you today?
Terrible.
I know.
I mean, really.
Yes.
I heard about this at 7 o'clock this morning, and I just, well, one of the things I want to say is the woman who called in, I think, hit it right on the head, and I am not going to be popular for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, and that is, people who live and grew up in a racist society, we are all mentally ill. We are all mentally ill. I'm talking about the people who deny that racism exists.
Mm.
And I'm just saying it because, yes, it's on a continuum. And yes, it's true that many people think that because they haven't said, done, or thought anything that's not in keeping with their values, that they're not responsible. But I disagree. we live in a community that is peopled by everybody who lives here, and everybody is our community. And until white people start speaking up to other white people,
yes, yes,
we are going to have the same stuff going on. It is okay for some people to say, this is terrible. Oh, it's awful that somebody is mentally ill and did that. We are all in this together, mm-hmm. and I really believe that that mental illness thing is on a continuum. We are all guilty until we take responsibility, mm-hmm. and I really believe that. So what do I do? I talked with my brother, who was, I think, the leader of the Pan-African. I'm not going to quote anybody, but I said, okay, so what do I do? I'm looking always for black leadership. And he said, you go talk to white people.
Yes, yes.
And I said, okay. So I am, as of this morning, making the commitment to go to my neighborhood meeting. I don't have any idea how I will be met. And what I would like to propose is what you proposed on the air, I believe, which is asking the question, how do we change this at our level where we can affect some change,
yes.
which I believe is demanding that in the schools we teach slave history, black history, we teach about Toussaint Louverture, we teach about all the slave revolts that happened in this country. We bring the respect due to all the people and to the all the years of nonviolent struggle that people who have every reason to be violent have not been, in the hopes of changing
yes.
this violent and crazy society.
Yes.
So that's all I have to offer, except to say that I'm horribly sad by this, too.
Me too.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I do want to say, because a couple of people have actually mentioned the whole mental health issue. As a member of the board for the Avell Gordley Center for Healing, I want to remind people that all of us are temporarily mentally healthy. And throughout our lives, that goes up and down. Sometimes all of us could use some help. And so if people are feeling, which I know culturally, there are some communities that don't believe that you should ever go and talk to anybody about what you're feeling. That's why we need more mental health services in our local community that people can access. You think about, like I think about the 15-year-old child who shot folks at last Thursday on Alberta Street. That child should have had some mental health support early on when his dad went away to federal prison, and we failed him. And so, but now we're going to probably send him to prison for a very, very, very long time under our mandatory minimum laws, which give the judge no option other than sending this kid to prison for a very, very, very long time. And so we have work to do in this community. We have work to do to address race head on. And we have to take the blinders off or the Portlandia vision off and actually deal with reality as it is. Otherwise, I think we will see more, not less, of these kind of tragic events. And so I want to go back to the phone line. And Sunny's back. Hello, Sunny.
Yes, I had to say one more thing or two more things. I think it's important that this church where this terrible thing occurred is renowned for its history and also for the people that came and spoke in front of the congregation or out of the congregation. Martin Luther King has a strong association with
yes,
this
he does.
Church, as do others. I think it's most probable that it is a targeted type symbolic act. I think the fellow that was in the legislature or whatever that was pushing through important changes he hoped for protection from bad cops, he was so articulate, so well-spoken,
yes.
and now he's dead. The other thing I wanted to say, when you want to get people acquainted with the history of this area, the Tallawa massacre occurred right down on the border. It's Oregon, Northern California history,
yes.
T-O-L-O-W-A. My uncle is the one who reported this horrible event. He thought it was safe to talk about it. Mm. Since that time, my family's experienced racist targeting across generations. Wow. I'm telling you, there's hate that festers. It doesn't die. It keeps going. And it's hate that is proud of itself. It's proud of even its cowardice. So when you read that account, which my family brought forward, T-O-L-O-W-A, we know what we're talking about. And there's evil in all shapes and sizes and colors. And a lot of Christians will tell you that they are more and more afraid. I'm not crazy about Judeo-Christian stuff, although I do feel that there's important information in the Bible, as there are all books of history and wisdom, and I do love Jesus because he stands for women and children. But the fact of the matter is ugly is ugly, and the best way, I think, to start helping is we all stand together and come to this prayer vigil or organize some other way to pay our respects.
Yes.
For these people.
Thank you, Sunny.
Let them know that we have great numbers. We do have great numbers.
Thank you so much, Sunny. You have a great day. Appreciate you calling back with that information. I want to also remind folks that the pastor of the church, Reverend Clementa Pinckney, was also killed at the church during the prayer service. And so, you know, I know we love talking about conspiracy theories, and so I don't believe that, you know, who knows? We will find out. What we do know for sure is that the 21-year-old was arrested today. What we know for sure is that we will be hearing more. We know that Dylan Roof shot and killed 9 people. Those are the things we know. It is my hope that as this story progresses, that we will learn more. But let's not forget the historic nature of this church, the Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. The reverend of this church was killed as part of this massacre, and others who were there to study the Bible. I agree with the president of the NAACP. There's no more cowardly act than to shoot people down who are studying their Bible. And so we have a couple of more callers on the line. We're going to try to squeak in. Hello, Brian.
Joanne, how are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Oh, not feeling real positive right now, but I will say this, and I don't know if anybody said it because I've been getting ready for work.
Okay.
So listen, as far as I'm concerned, the police in the United States, including in Portland, has to be an active member in that, have basically given people like this permission.
Yes.
To do this.
I agree.
And I think that it's time that, you know, we, all these 90% great guys on the police force might want to start getting together and taking responsibility for policing themselves and policing the people who are causing these problems. But I can't emphasize enough, when the police just constantly get away with this.
Yes.
And we go back to, and I have to bring up Trayvon Martin.
Mm-hmm.
and Zimmerman. Zimmerman has permission now, and he's used that permission over and over again since this killing to do whatever he wants. And he's a perfect example. This is just, unfortunately, a logical chain of events. I don't think it's a conspiracy.
Mm.
I think it's just a logical reaction to violent, you know, that violent people are having.
Right.
Because if the police have permission to do it, and the Zimmerman gentleman has permission to do it, well, why can't anybody do it?
Exactly.
So that's my comment on that. And you know what? It was really sensitive of you to do this show today.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Take care, have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Well, looks like we are just about out of time. Maybe I can squeak in that last caller. Hello, Luke. You've got 30 seconds or less. We're just about done.
Sure. I don't know if anybody's even mentioned as well that this is a learned behavior.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Nobody's born hating people for their race. That's absolutely true.
Exactly. But what's needed is a proper response to this. So the gathering at the church is a good idea, but I'm wondering if anybody's thought, like, could there be copycats that might want to go to such a gathering and maybe pull off the same kind of stunt, you know? So I want people to be mindful of that as well. So
you know, every time we organize a march here, we are very mindful of the legacy of the civil rights struggle in this country. And so we know when we take to the street that there is the potential for people who just don't want to hear what we have to say, but we do it anyway. Thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. I'm glad we got to squeak you in. Want to give you one last reminder of the vigil this evening, Portland Prayer Vigil, for the victims in Charleston, starting at 6 p.m. this evening at Bethel AME Church, located at 5828 Northeast 8th Avenue. For more info, call Dr. T. Allen Bethel at 503-288-7241. Thank you so much. This has been Voices from the Edge. Thank you, Steve, the best engineer on the planet. Hope you're all having a great day. Bye now.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's not all that glitter is gold. After story had never been told, so now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up, stand up, stand up for your right.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. 1 minute before 9 o'clock on your Thursday. Teresa Mitchell is on vacation this week, so we've got something coming up special at 9 here. But I want to tell you about 10 o'clock. Chris Andre will be hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15 on Flashpoints, a discussion of how Walmart secretly uses tax havens to dodge taxes and Haitians prepare for more fraudulent elections. We'll hear from Flashpoints reporter Kevin Pina. At 11 on Between the Covers, host Ken Jones talks with author James Anderson, founder of Brighton Bush Books, about his debut novel, The Never Open Desert Diner. And at 11:30 on the Radio Zine, host Andrew Geller speaks with veteran environmental journalist and author Fred Pierce, whose latest title is The New Wild, Why Invasive Species Will Be Nature's Salvation. But first, instead of Press Watch, we've got Per Fogering hosting a special hour-long call-in version of Fight the Empire on The Great Game. Today, he asks the question, can today's wars and terrorist outrages be related to an age